Hello, you are listening to PEP, the New Security Communities, a podcast brought to you by the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. In this podcast, Zane Stein talks with ILRC attorney Lena Graber about what is happening in immigration enforcement, specifically around the new policy developments on how local law enforcement agencies work with ICE.
All right, I'm Zane Stein.
And I'm Lena Graber.
We're going to have a conversation about immigration. Lena is an expert in some of the methods that ICE uses to detain immigrants and to co-opt local law enforcement into being part of the immigration machinery. So, Lena, can you start out by telling me something about what your work is, what you do?
Yeah, so I'm an attorney at the Immigrant Legal Resource Center. I focus on the ways that ICE immigration enforcement agents are involved with local police and sheriffs, and whether we have local police and sheriffs involved in deportations or not.
So you're here today to tell us about this PEP program. So what does that stand for?
PEP stands for the Priority Enforcement Program. Sometimes we call it PEPCOM.
PEPCOM.
PEPCOM, to kind of combine the name with Secure Communities, SCOM, which was its predecessor.
So let's just real big picture. First of all, what is PEPCOM?
PEP is basically just a policy statement from DHS about how they are going to work with local jails to get immigrants to deport them.
So what's the relationship between PEP and the program that it's replacing, the Secure Communities?
Under Secure Communities, DHS found a way for all of the fingerprints for everyone that's arrested in the country to be sent to automatically check against immigration databases. So anytime someone is arrested, those fingerprints go through the wires, and if there is a match against some record in the immigration system, then ICE, the Immigration Enforcement Agency, is automatically notified. And they send a request to the local jail that just arrested that person, and they say, please transfer that person to us. We want them. Okay. And they make that request on a form that they call a detainer. And so that was under Secure Communities. And what was new about Secure Communities was that information sharing of all those fingerprints. But then in 2014, last year, they ended Secure Communities and they replaced it with PEP, the Priority Enforcement Program. And PEP does the exact same thing in terms of sending all of the fingerprints of everyone arrested in custody everywhere to check against immigration databases, automatically notify ICE, and ICE asks the local jail to transfer them to immigration custody as soon as whatever case they were arrested in regards to is over.
So is this just a rebranding, the way we see when companies get into some scandal?
Yes.
Blackwater changes their name, and when it becomes, it's bad publicity around the particular name that they have?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
So we changed the name of this really major program that ICE uses to sweep immigrants into their custody from Secure Communities to PEP or PEPCOM.
Mm-hmm.
Does anything change at all? There must be some minor pieces that have changed.
Well, it's hard to tell because PEP was created in this memo last November. President Obama issued a whole bunch of memorandums. One of those created the DAPA program that is enjoined in federal court. Another one of those created PEP. And on paper, in that memo, you might have thought that it would be different from Secure Communities in a few ways, but that's really not what we're seeing so far as it's been implemented. The biggest thing they changed was in one of their many memos, November 2014, they changed who they are going to call an enforcement priority, which means who ICE will go after. And that's in general. That's bigger than from local jail. That's just like, who does ICE going to go after the most? And to the extent that they follow those priorities, then fewer people are affected under the PEP program. So that's the biggest change. And that's confusing, right? Because the change is really external to the idea of changing from PEP to SCOM. What is a lie about the change is that Secure Communities was really defined by fingerprint checks for immigration backgrounds on everyone in the country, and that's the mainstay of PEP. The other things just in the PEP memo that supposedly changed were I said, okay, we're not going to ask local jails to hold people for us anymore. We're just going to ask them to let us know when the person we're interested in is going to be released. Which, as we have already seen, is a meaningless distinction in terms of the way the program works, because it's more work for ICE. They have to show up at the minute the person is being released, but the exact same thing happens where ICE has sent this request and the local jail hands the person off to ICE. It's just a question of, does ICE come a little earlier in the process?
It seems like a really important part of the context here of PEPCOM mm-hmm. is the string of victory, of legal victories, that the immigrant rights movement has been having. Mm-hmm. And in particular, I know you've been involved in that. One of the tools was the detainer.
Right.
And that is increasingly being ruled unconstitutional in enough applications that it's looking like that wasn't going to survive.
Right.
Mal, I understand that part of PEPCOM is a change in the way that some of the paperwork is written to try and get around the fact that what they were doing was unconstitutional.
That's exactly right. Under the law, if I'm a local jail and ICE sends me a detainer for someone that I have in jail, say their name is Sam, mm-hmm. and they say, please let us know when you're going to release Sam, and please hold him an extra couple days so that we have time to come get him. That's what a detainer used to say. And still says, I should say. And I, the local jail, was like, okay, no problem. You're my friends, ICE. And then the federal court stepped in and said, wait a minute. If you're going to hold a person beyond the time that their case is over, that they're supposed to be released, they posted bail, whatever the reason, that's a new arrest. And to arrest someone in this country under the Fourth Amendment, you have to have probable cause, or you have to have a warrant signed by a judge that says, we believe this person has committed a crime. And they're about to be released from jail. We usually don't have probable cause that they have committed a crime, right? They're getting out. Several courts found that detainer unconstitutional. So what ICE did in PEP is they said, well, if you're worried about this constitutional issue, we have option B, a new detainer form that just says, we'll leave out the part about hold them extra time and just let us know when they're going to be released so that we'll come faster. So basically the result is instead of that transfer to immigration detention happening up to a couple days after the person should have been released, it's just like right around the time they were released. And that reduction in time affects the way that the Fourth Amendment comes into it. It affects whether we say there's been a new arrest by that local jail. So that's how they're trying to get around the constitutional issues. It's not clear. I think there will be new lawsuits about that, and we're still ferreting out what that means and if changes in the forms makes a difference.
So how have activists been responding to PEP?
We are really looking around to monitor what ICE is doing under this new program. Are they switching to ask for notice of release instead of to hold people extra time? Is that an important distinction or a meaningful distinction in any place? Often it's not, but maybe some places it is.
So do we have a sense that whether jails are honoring that request for notification?
Oh, absolutely. Most of them do.
What about in cities that that we know have been active in resisting ICE?
Like quite a few of the cities that have been... San Francisco passed a resolution this week saying, we reject PEP. We're not calling ICE. We're not holding people for ICE. Chicago, Philadelphia, New York all continue to not do anything with ICE.
And this seems like a really important point, right? ICE can't make the local police do their bidding, right?
That's right.
This is all a matter of suggestion, convincing.
That's right.
So their power does remain at the local level. It's just whether we choose to exercise it.
That's right. Yeah. That was the model of organizing against secure communities, was it's very hard to get accountability or anything out of ICE itself as a federal agency, but we do have much more power over our own elected sheriffs and the way that they make decisions and the way that they interact with their communities and their constituents.
Okay, so we'd like to wrap up our show. Thanks for listening. A reminder, as always, that though our guests are lawyers, none of this constitutes legal advice. If you have a legal issue, you should talk to a lawyer.
And you can find lots of our other podcasts on www.ilrc.org.
Thanks for listening to our podcast on PEP, the new secure communities. For more information, please visit our website at www.ilrc.org/enforcement. The Immigrant Legal Resource Center, or ILRC, is a national nonprofit resource center that provides legal training, educational materials, and advocacy to advance immigrant rights. The mission of the ILRC is to work with and educate immigrants, community organizations, and the legal sector to continue to build a democratic society that values diversity and the rights of all people. This podcast was brought to you by the Immigrant Legal Resource Center.